Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God.
Amen.
Please be seated. Welcome. So today's readings, they're tied together by themes of human division, crossing boundaries, and God's desire for unity. In Genesis, we have the story of brothers reunited after years of division caused by ego and jealousy. The brothers are reunited in Egypt, and soon their father will join them. God has crossed the border between Israel and Egypt so that a remnant of his people will survive famine and flourish and grow numerous in Egypt. The psalm lays out clearly for us that God desires unity for all his creation. Here the psalmist equates unity to holy oil that covers Israel from its holy mountain in the north to its holy mountain in the south. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brethren live together in unity. It is like the dew of Hermon that falls upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has ordained the blessing, life forevermore. Unity brings blessing. Simple to say, but so contrary to human nature. In an effort to make sense of our lives, we love to sort and categorize everything, including ourselves. This past week, Wednesday's reading from Forward Day by Day spoke to me as I was contemplating this sermon. I quote, "How do you identify yourself? By the stripes of your faith, career, politics, age, ethnicity, or orientation? White, middle-aged, married, moderate male, retired, black, evangelical mother, single, young, gay, Asian, professional, progressive, Episcopal, activist. Who are you?" Jesus talks on another story with a woman at the well about how labels create barriers and divisions. Samaritan, Jew, Christian, Muslim, Republican, Democrat, gay, straight, evangelical, mainline, rich, poor, and on, but as we experience the love of God through Christ, labels that separate us can dissolve into the reality of the Spirit who binds all believers into one body, who makes us all brothers, sisters, siblings through Jesus Christ, who pays no attention to the distinction of Jew and Samaritan, male and female. And that is the truth of the gospel. But, you ask, what about what we heard today? Jesus and the Canaanite woman. He sure seems to pay a lot of attention to her ethnicity in that story. And in fact, we might say he was pretty mean to her. This is an excellent question that shouldn't be brushed off. It's hard sometimes to deal with these passages. The Jesus we encounter here doesn't seem to fit the picture of the all-loving healer. Today's encounter, borrowed by Matthew from Mark, takes place in non-Jewish territory near Tyre and Sidon in Phoenicia. Jesus has left the Pharisees behind and is traveling with his disciples. In this area that's close to the coast of the Mediterranean, there's a woman who has a daughter who is possessed by a demon. In today's understanding, she might be an epileptic or have any number of mental illnesses. Her mother is desperate to save her child and has heard that Jesus of Nazareth is in the area. She has heard of his healing power, and she understands who he is to the Jewish people. She believes with all her heart that this man can heal her child. So she does what is socially unthinkable and goes out into the street to intercept him. As we're talking about crossing boundaries, let's look at the ones this woman crosses. First, she is a woman and is going to accost a man in public in front of her neighbors. This is unthinkable. Second, she's a Canaanite and he is a Jew. Ever since Joshua led the armies of Israel into the Holy Land to take the land from those who were already living there, Canaanites and Israelites have been despised enemies. And here she was, asking for something from her enemy. Third, her behavior would be considered unacceptable, no matter who she was talking to. She was yelling at him. And lastly, she had a demon-possessed daughter, something that should keep her away from people and definitely kept people away from her. The scripture says, just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." By having her address him as Lord, Son of David, Matthew is indicating that she realizes that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. What she's asking for is mercy. Mercy in the form of healing for her daughter. Her whole demeanor shows everyone who sees her how desperate she is. She's probably making everyone uncomfortable. We've experienced that discomfort when we have seen seriously unstable people shouting at others as they pass by. So what did Jesus do for this desperate woman? Well, at first, he did nothing at all. But he did not answer her at all, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's shouting after us." Jesus ignores her. And that is when, at least I, start having trouble with this passage. This isn't my Jesus, I think, who would see her pain and take care of her. But it turns out that ignoring her was his kindest response. He answered his disciples, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." From this, we understand that Jesus is sure of what he was sent to do, and that he understands that he was sent only to the people of Israel. But the belief in this woman that Jesus is the answer to her problem is strong. Upon hearing him say this to his disciples, her demeanor changes, and she goes before him and kneels in a posture of prayer and supplication. And she tries again, saying, "Lord, help me." Remember, these are exactly the same words that Peter cried out when he was sinking beneath the waves, when Jesus reached out and took his hand and saved him. But unlike with Peter, Jesus responds with a racial slur intended to put her in her place. He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The children here are the children of Israel, and the dogs are the Canaanites, including the woman kneeling at his feet. It was a common insult used by Jews for Canaanites at that time. But this woman is made of stern stuff. She doesn't give up, and she uses Jesus' own words to make her point. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." What she's saying is that even the smallest crumb of mercy from Jesus is enough to heal her daughter. Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. In the end, because of the woman's persistence, her faith in his ability to heal, Jesus does heal her daughter. He does extend his mission over the border into the land of the Gentiles. There are so many interpretations about why Jesus was such a jerk to the woman initially. I can let you make your own choice. I will just put them before you. Those who wish to tie this up with a pretty bow say that he was testing her and intended to heal her daughter all along. Now, I have a bit of a problem with this. If that is the case, why is he so mean to her? Some say Jesus was both fully human and fully divine, and that he was showing his human side that day. He was tired, he was worn down, and he just didn't have any more bandwidth for this woman. Some say this was a teaching exercise. He was setting up a lesson for his disciples. This very well could be. Once again, why is he so mean to her? I suspect what I see as mean was just common behavior of a first century Jewish man. Finally, some say Jesus was learning that day. The God of Israel has always had an intimate relationship with his people. There are many times in the Hebrew Bible when God interacts with someone and changes plans. Perhaps this is one of those times. But maybe none of this really matters all that much. Perhaps it isn't Jesus' behavior that is the important focus of this passage. Perhaps we can give the woman some credit for her persistence and her ability to change Jesus' perspective on his own mission. We do know that he began the encounter saying that he came only to Israel. And we know that he healed this Canaanite child. Perhaps Jesus grows in self-understanding. And we know that at the end of Matthew's gospel, in chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So there are a couple things to take away from this reading. First, that God doesn't honor division or create it. We do. What if, when asked the question, "Who are you?" we think first of answers that join us to others. "I am human, and so are you. I am a child of God, and so are you." When we put fences around our identities, we're also separating ourselves from others. No one on earth can put limits on the grace of God, and it is not up to us to try. It is up to us to seek unity with everyone that God has created. Secondly, this woman was effectively praying to Jesus to help her. When she didn't get the answer she wanted, she didn't give up. She kept at it, she adapted, until something she said worked. How are we going to respond honestly and re-engage our faith when Jesus doesn't come through as we expect? Can we be faithful and persistent in prayer? Remember, prayer provides us with the opportunity to become co-creators with God. Prayer is an extraordinary privilege. We get to talk to the God who created us, who created the universe and everything in it. So talk to God. Tell God what you're thankful for. Tell him who you think needs help. Ask God to help you, to give you what you need. Always remembering that what you need may not be the same thing as what you want. The important thing is to persist in prayer. We do not see with the eyes of God. What is a mountain to us may turn out to be the very thing that prepares us for the next good thing that God has planned for us. Amen. Thank you.